Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
We regularly hear from listeners, particularly in their 30s, 40s, 50 years of age, now realising maybe a little bit later in life that they're neurodivergent. They want us to chat about the process of actually getting an ADHD diagnosis. What exactly does that involve? Emails lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Delighted to be joined in studio today by Dr. Ailish Kenny, who is from ADHD Donegal, part of the Midwest Clinic there, and the CEO of ADHD Ireland, Ken Kilbride, both with me in studio this afternoon. Good afternoon to you both. Ailish, you might just explain to us first of all, how does this process work? What's involved with actually getting a diagnosis? Where do you start?
Yeah, sure. I suppose the first thing to mention would be that if these are traits or patterns that you think resonate with you or that you recognise, there's an increased awareness, I suppose, through social media and on news, etc. And if people recognise these patterns that might have been present for them from childhood, I suppose, and followed through with them through their lifespan, you're looking for inattention, impulsivity, and those things causing impairment. The first port of call or a good place to start would be to discuss it with a healthcare professional, normally your GP. And in that, I suppose, raise your concerns, also maybe discuss what the difficulties you're experiencing are, the impairment that's causing, and then they will point you in the direction of where to go. The assessment process itself, I suppose there is strong kind of clinical research, obviously, and evidence base about what an assessment should look like. And initially, I suppose you reach out to a provider, but it's important, I suppose, to have a clear guideline of where you'd like to go. So from that point of view, we'd say that you'd obviously, there's different options. You can have an online assessment or you can have an in-person assessment. The evidence would suggest that both of those are okay. I suppose what we would find in practice, we do our assessments in person, and sometimes that can give you some valuable information.
So typically before people even get to the point of actually going through the ADHD maybe diagnosis or going for that process, will people typically know or suspect, Ken, that they have this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what you find is people with ADHD have been resurging it for a number of years. And again, just we have a support line. One of our most common calls on the support line is, my child has just got diagnosed with ADHD. I was exactly the same age when I was 10. I think I might too have ADHD. But okay, the important thing about it is there's an awful lot of traits out there, and you hear an awful lot more talking about ADHD in the media.
Yeah.
And, you know, people will come in on a Monday morning and say, I forgot my keys, or I forgot to do this over the weekend. I must have ADHD. That's not ADHD.
Yeah, you hear kind of colloquially mentioned like that, all right, from time to time.
Where you need to be at a particular criteria to meet the threshold.
So what is that? Maybe what is that criteria?
Yeah, so
flagging that.
So there's five areas or pieces in the jigsaw to form a diagnosis. So you have to have symptoms, and that would be in inattentive criteria and also hyperactive impulsive criteria. On top of that, they have to be present before the age of 12, or they have to be there from childhood. It's a neurodevelopmental condition. So, and once you have those established, it has to cause impairment, and that has to be in more than one area, in two or more areas in life. So it can't be that it's just happening to you at work or it's just happening to you at home. It has to be, I suppose, across all of the areas.
Give us an example of that, maybe.
Yeah, I suppose if someone in a very stressful job obviously could find that they are struggling in terms of organisation, or that depending on their workload, that on its own wouldn't, even if it's persistent in a work area, wouldn't meet the criteria for diagnosis. So you would have to have that with also, I suppose, struggles at home, struggles in friendship, struggles to keep on top of things. So I think what the main thing is that ADHD is present, and it's continuous, and it's persistent, and it's there all of the time.
But it has to have been there from pre 12 years of age, really.
Exactly.
Okay.
And on the other things for criteria diagnosis then would be that symptoms cannot be better explainable by any other condition. Obviously, there are other conditions that can mirror or maybe look like ADHD. So that's why, I suppose, choosing the provider and understanding the assessment process is really important, because, you know, an assessment should be comprehensive. Mm. It should be a minimum of 2 hours long. It should gather collateral history from your childhood in terms of maybe parents or siblings or school reports. It can be difficult if you're later being assessed or diagnosed, because not everybody will recall that. So it is about teasing out that information. And so how it is done, I suppose, doesn't really matter. matter in terms of whether it's online or in person, as long as it's comprehensive.
And about 2 hours in length. And yeah. Typically, I suppose, Ken, when you know, you gave the example of maybe somebody whose child has been diagnosed with ADHD, and then they start to identify some of the symptoms that Ailish talked about. Is that when they're most likely, maybe as an adult in their 40 or 50s, to go and get tested themselves?
Certainly that's the most common driver we see, but there is a huge amount, I'd say, more talk and awareness around ADHD and the type of things like Ailish talked about right now. You know, it's not forgetting your car keys, it's not being able to find your car. It's, you know, having the money in the account and not paying your bills. So these are the chances where they become impairments. So these are the things that we're looking for. And certainly seeing the other thing, the other side of that coin is that the prime age for getting a diagnosis for children is 8 to 12. But in that age range, 4 to 5 times more boys than girls get a diagnosis. Women tend to get diagnosed later.
Why is that?
What you find is that girls tend to have more what we call the inattentive ADHD. So they're sitting down the back of the class, being quiet, dreamy, shy, staring out the window, not causing a problem. The boys, there's an old saying, girls internalise, boys externalise. So the boys, in terms of the hyperactivity, not sitting still, bouncing around the classroom, not chatting all the time, but doing things like that. Teacher sees that. So again, but what you find is that can lead to challenges because the girls are masking, camouflaging. That can lead to anxiety and depression. And again, I would always say, in terms of, you know, our support groups and activities like that, if we got €1 for every woman that came to us in their 20s, 30s, 40s and said, you know, I've just been diagnosed with, you know, I've been on anxiety medication, depression medication for the last 20 years. I've just got a diagnosis for ADHD. If we got all those €1, we wouldn't need funding from the HSE. Mm-hmm. There's an epidemic out there of women that haven't been supported in getting the diagnosis and treatment for their ADHD.
And it's funny, like, you know, just even when I read some of the emails from listeners, Ailish, over the years talking about ADHD and trying to get a diagnosis or access to services, you know, and all that kind of goes with that. And maybe more often than not, it's parents talking about their children. But you typically tend to think of it as being something that involves a symptom of being overactive or hyperactive, or like actually being the quiet maybe child in the class is not typically what we... So is that just total misunderstanding?
I think it is. And I think what's changed in the last number of years is that we now realise that just because it wasn't diagnosed doesn't mean it wasn't there. It was there all along. But people, particularly girls and women, were hiding it, I suppose, because you weren't disruptive in the classroom, you weren't causing trouble, you just got on with it. And that has, I suppose, led to, as Ken... I suppose touched on there, the fact that women and girls do tend to internalise it. So that can present obviously in all walks. But I suppose what really happens is that people, women, are walking around and they think, I'm not good enough. I'm constantly comparing themselves to others. You know, they don't know that it could be different, I suppose. So you think this is normal. I was late diagnosed myself only 18 months ago. And, you know, I think it's just you've got used to this and you put an awful lot of pressure on yourself. It's the constant lists in your head. It's the constant, like, never feeling good enough. It's, you know, knowing you need to do something, wanting to do it and not being able to do it. And then a cycle of guilt and shame, and hormones play a huge role in it as well. I suppose many people are late diagnosed, and it's when perimenopause rears its head, because estrogen starts to drop, and estrogen is a precursor to dopamine, and so therefore, with someone with ADHD, you have a lower baseline level of dopamine, but you had estrogen as a girl or a woman, and then it starts to fall off a cliff. So it can become unmasked or more visible because it's harder to cope with the things that you could. The strategies that did work don't work anymore.
So just for yourself, Ailish, for you, after getting that diagnosis, what's the benefit now of being diagnosed later in life?
Yeah, I suppose for me, like, two of my boys were diagnosed and I still didn't even see it in myself. And I think the benefit, I always thought everybody's head was as busy as mine. I thought everybody overthought things and ruminated and second guessed themselves. And I didn't realise that that wasn't the norm. Even as a doctor, I just didn't. I thought this was what you had to, I suppose, put up with in one way. So the diagnosis, it definitely brought clarity. It brought a sense of validation and just understanding. And I think that it's really important that particularly in later diagnosed women, you know, that they can get a chance to look back and reflect and just understand themselves a bit better.
Yeah.
And therefore, I suppose, make the next chapter of their lives a bit easier.
A bit easier. Just before I go back, Kent, to you for a moment, it's a text in from a listener. The actual process itself. Mm. So you said it's about 2 hours long, finding somebody reputable to carry out that test.
Yeah, and I think there's important things that you should probably look at when you are looking for a provider. Obviously, you can choose yourself, whether you're more comfortable in person or online. You should look at how long, how comprehensive it's going to be. It's also important, I suppose, to ask what the follow-up or what the plan will be after that.
Who tests you?
So that's the thing. The testing can be done by a number of different, specialists, psychologists, psychiatrists, or we work as part of a GP-led multidisciplinary team. And essentially, the questions that I would be saying for somebody who's going to pay privately to have an assessment is, the assessment is one thing, but you need to have a plan or an idea of what treatment will go after that
next,
and where
yeah.
you go. So sometimes people mightn't be aware that a psychologist, whilst they can do a very comprehensive assessment, if somebody wants to discuss medication or look at that as an option, they cannot offer that. So it's just to be aware of those things and also how we'll follow up.
Okay.
Follow.
Yeah. So can you, this can be managed. It's
Absolutely.
Something that listeners can manage. Yeah.
Well, again, there's various aspects to manage. I mean, without getting into the weeds too much, there can be what's called ADHD simplex, which is, you know, very straightforward, or there's ADHD complex, which is, you know, comorbid or interacting with other conditions. But what you find is that, you know, that people with ADHD, we often say the biggest challenge with ADHD is not the ADHD itself, but it's the low self-esteem and the stigma that goes with the condition. And what we're finding is, you know, that there's high incidences of, you know, anxiety, depression, other psychiatric conditions, instances of over-indexing with alcohol, cannabis, other things like that as well. Higher rates of unplanned pregnancies. Load of things that go with ADHD when it's unmanaged.
Okay, so it really has a massive impact on people's lives all throughout. Like this listener here has got in touch, Ken, to say people don't take ADHD seriously enough at all. My wife was only diagnosed 3 years ago, and people laugh when they hear that, and they say things like, "Oh, that explains why you're all over the place."
Yeah. If I can get into more the harder figures,
yeah.
We did some. It is robust scientific survey research with UCD and the HSE and ADHD Ireland. There's about 170,000 adults with ADHD in Ireland today. We did the research, and the research was showing that 20% of adults with ADHD had attempted suicide. 50% self-harm, and 10% think suicide's an option going forward.
That's what part of the findings of this survey,
Of 150,000 people.
The numbers even across, and that's the numbers that have a diagnosis.
We did through ADHD Ireland, we did the research. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people through us would have it. Another figure out there is that the socioeconomic cost of undiagnosed adult ADHD is about 2 billion. That's 2 billion every year.
So that's the cost of this. Yeah. Listener says, I was diagnosed with ADHD about 2 years ago in my late 30s. The process took about 2 years. I was also prescribed medication to pull my focus into check. The diagnosis makes no difference to my life really, but the tools that come with the diagnosis and the medication has actually made a significant difference. I was never a poor performer at work, but now I actually excel at it. And another listener has got in contact to tell me, my son was diagnosed just last year, and myself as well, as his mum. I always knew I was a little different, but never knew it was ADHD. My daughter is getting assessed now in second year. She has masked her entire life like me, but I never knew that it was this condition. I feel that like it's kind of internalized, unlike my son who was hyper. My whole life makes an awful lot more sense now.
Yeah.
And if people want to get in touch, Ken, perhaps if they've questions, queries around symptoms, even getting a diagnosis, where can they do that through yourselves?
Well, obviously our main portal is our website, which is adhdireland.ie.
Yeah.
But we actually have a support line that has real people on it. So when you phone us, someone picks up the phone, answers, and we talk to you about your individual cases.
Okay.
Drop us an email, all over social media.
Yeah, ADHD Ireland. For the moment, thanks a million to you both for joining us in studio. Dr. Eilish Kenny, who is from ADHD Doc and the Midwest Clinic there, and the CEO of ADHD Ireland, Ken Kilbride. If you want to share your own maybe story or experience with us, you can drop us an email. That's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday. On News Talk. Conversation that counts.